Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to have part two of our lesson that we started last week, the idea of accurately handling the word of truth. And we recognize this from 2 Timothy 2:15, where the King James says, "Study to show yourselves approved." The New American Standard says, "Be diligent to show yourselves approved to God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." And so we're supposed to talk about this. Last week we emphasized three points of what people do that misuse the scriptures. It's proof texting, assigning an interpretation that was not intended by the original author, and then, of course, misquoting scripture. And so that's what they do. Today we want to talk about the danger that is involved when you don't speak the truth. And so the dangerous consequences of misusing the scriptures. And some people think the misuse of scripture is harmless, but the consequences of misuse are very serious indeed. Those in the denominational world, they misuse scripture all the time, and they become so accustomed to it, it's no big deal to them. But it is dangerous, and it can certainly cause people to lose their souls. So how it affects those who are deceived. I mean, whether we wittingly or unwittingly misuse the scriptures, the consequences are still going to be the same. Just like Jesus talked about, the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the pit. And so many of those in the denominational world, they basically have been conditioned to think that their way is right, so they teach it, and it is just as false as it can be, and souls are going to be lost. So what we'll do here is just list some of the consequences of the false teaching in general, and this is pretty obvious. See, the scriptures, when you have false teaching, it can deprive the needy of the help that God wants them to have. So it deprives people of the truth, of what they need. And so God wants them to have the help that he has to offer them. He gives us everything we need, but when people misuse the scriptures, then they're denied that. And so that's not going to help them get to heaven. See, Jesus exposed how the Pharisees and the scribes neglected their duty toward their parents when they set aside the law of God in favor of their own tradition. In other words, forget mom and dad. You don't need to care about them, because all you have to say, well, what I have is dedicated to the Lord, so you can't have it. And Jesus said, you're denying what God said when God said, honor your father and your mother. And so this is what Jesus said. Because of their traditions, they turned their back and did not observe God's law. Jesus also said, for you always have the poor with you. And you know what? Some people actually quote this as a justification for not helping the poor. I mean, the attitude being, there's no use in helping the poor because it won't solve the problem. You know, in a lot of cases, it's true, it won't solve the problem. And sometimes throwing money at a problem does not solve the problem. It's a heart problem is what we have out there. And some people, when there's money involved, they're going to find some way to get it. And they're going to take it. So it's just like many government programs. If there's money involved, there's an administrator, an assistant administrator, an assistant to the assistant administrator. And then there's the clerks. And then there's the secretaries. And each one has their own personal secretary. Then they have others. And, 40 people to do one job, and the person who actually does the work is the one that's laid off first, right? Yeah, we've seen that meme. So anyway, some people have this idea, well, they're always going to be here, and of course, you know, money does not solve the problem. And so we recognize that. But the problem with false teaching, it can overthrow people's faith. They had this problem in the New Testament. Paul names two people, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and those who taught that the resurrection is already past. I mean, Paul was teaching, okay, we need to be looking for the Lord to return. And these people were teaching back then, well, he already has returned. And that was a false teaching. And so there's a lot of things to consider about that. But we have the same thing going on in churches of Christ today. There are people teaching that Christ came back in 70 AD and he's not coming back again. Well, that's just false teaching. And of course, everything the Bible says about the end times and what's going to happen at the end times hasn't happened yet. See, it is this teaching that has overthrown the faith of some. And so Paul talked about that 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18 when he really specifically talking about the false teachers. And then 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 says the time will come there will be false teachers and they will overthrow the faith of many and they will teach things that are not right. And Paul warned us to watch out for these people. So that's why Paul said that studying the truth could keep you away from error if you're willing to study the truth. Now, if you're not willing to pick up your Bible and confirm what's been taught to you, then really, if you're carried off into error, how are you going to know? And when you stand before God and all you've been doing is practicing error, what's his judgment going to be? As we consider this, that is why it's so important for we need to study ourselves. Because if someone teaches you error and you just go along with it, guess what? You're not going to heaven. And I'm sure everybody wants to go to heaven. There is a way to accomplish that. But it's through studying God's word and living the way God wants us to live. Another thing about false doctrine is it can lead people into immorality. And we see this in the denominational world. Hey, let's just get involved in immorality. We'll just do it and then we'll ask for forgiveness later. Or we'll pay the church to let us do some of these things that are immoral. And that's what they do. False teaching allows this stuff. And so, really, false teaching basically removes any consequences of not obeying God. And so, that's what happens. See, Jude warns of the false teachers whose teaching led people to believe they could live a life of sensuality with impunity. Jude 1 and verse 4. And so, yeah, go ahead and do it. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, God's not going to pay attention. I mean, once saved, always saved. That's a very popular doctrine, and people love that. So I'll get saved, and then I can just live any way I want to live. And get involved in whatever I want to get involved in. And no, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so this applies to those, like I say, wittingly or unwittingly, who misuse the scripture. I mean, they do it, and a lot of them just do it out of ignorance because they haven't really studied. There's a group of people now teaching, you know, the AD 70 doctrine where Christ came back, and he's not coming back again. And one of them even acknowledged, well, I haven't really studied the Bible that much, but this is what I believe. I mean, how can they defend such a teaching as coming from the Bible when they haven't even studied the Bible? See, it doesn't make any sense, but that's what they are. I mean, they were scheduled for a debate this the past 2 days, but then all of a sudden they just canceled. They canceled the debate. Some unforeseen circumstances is what they called it. But anyway, they're not willing to stand up and defend their truth, but they're willing to spew their error all they want. See, when this happens, you are feeding people's belief that you can make the Bible say anything that you want. You know, that comes under the category of what we said last week about twisting the scripture and misusing the scripture and giving it a different application than what was originally intended. It's like hearing people say, well, Jesus didn't mean what he said. Now, does that make sense to anybody? It shouldn't make sense to anybody, but those who want to live in a way that is false, as far as God is concerned, well, then it's easy for them to say that. Jesus did not mean what he said. I mean, try and figure that one out, okay? I'll give you all week to figure that one out. Jesus did not mean what he said. I mean, it just kind of boggles the mind that people would even say such a thing. But in support of their false doctrine, they will say that. And I've heard them say that. See, when false teaching comes to pass, it makes your worship vain. You know, Jesus talked about vain worship there in Matthew chapter 15, and here in Mark 7, a very similar statement was made. I mean, vain worship is not pleasing to God. And we've talked about worship before, types of worship that God does not accept, and vain worship is one of those things. See, we are marked out or set aside for condemnation. You know, Jude verse 4 tells us that. 2 Peter 2:3 talks about these false teachers. They're set aside for condemnation. And of course, whoever adds to the scripture or takes away from the scripture is going to face the consequences and the curses from the book. And Revelation 22, 18 and 19. So you may or may not get marked out by man, but God knows everything, and God does have his book of remembrances. We talked about this book on several occasions. Malachi talks about the book of remembrances. Those who have turned their back on God and rejected God, he writes their name down in the book of remembrance. And so in Revelation chapter 20, when it says, "And books were opened," we know what those books are. The book of remembrance is going to be there, opened up. And of course, the Bible, which is the standard we're supposed to live by. And of course, the Lamb's book of life. And anyone's name who was not in the Lamb's book of life has to face the second death. And that's in Revelation 20 as well. Now, there's responsibilities and guidelines we need to pay attention to. And when it comes to studying God's word, we must learn how to study and watch out for signs of going astray. So, yes, it's important that we learn these rules of interpretation, rules of how to study the Bible, learning things like who is doing the speaking, to whom are they doing the speaking, and things like that. Like I said last week, I can show you and quote you in the Bible where there is no God. I mean, we can do that, right? But when you read Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the person who disavows the existence of God is a fool. And so that's what we can pay attention to. But we must study and learn these things for ourselves. And it's not wise to listen to someone or let someone guide you on this. You need to study for yourself, because like I say, there's many false teachers in this world. Even the Bible acknowledges there's many false teachers have gone out into this world. And so in view of the various ways there are of misusing the scriptures and the condemnation that awaits false teachers, we had better be sure that we are handling the Word of God accurately. That means studying for ourselves. I mean, just taking the preacher's word for it is not going to cut it. It should not cut it. He may be teaching the truth. But if you don't basically verify what he's teaching, then basically all you're doing is following a man's teaching. And so that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the teaching of God. So one might be tempted to say, if this is the case, then it is better not to teach at all. You know, there's some passages of scripture says, be not many of you teachers, because we will incur a stricter judgment. And we're also warned that if you're going to teach, you better be teaching what God wants taught. I mean, so 1 Peter 4:11. So we need to be doing that. Some people think, well, if there's so much danger to teaching, we shouldn't be teachers. We shouldn't be allowing teachers to teach us. I mean, that just basically keeps people in ignorance. So, we need to do that. You know, this reminds us of the slave who was given one talent. You know, Matthew 25. And also repeated in Luke 19. Another came saying, Master, here is your mina, your coin, which I kept put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. And so, I mean, the lazy, worthless slave in Matthew 25, Jesus says, take away what he has and cast him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, yes, that's what it is. So there's responsibility. Even if you're given just a little responsibility, we still have that responsibility. So rather, we should ensure that we search the scriptures for all that God has to say on a subject. And sometimes a preacher will quote two or three passages of scripture in support of what he's teaching. You need to go to the Bible and make sure all the scripture agrees with that. Make sure there's nothing that disagrees with what is said. And so examine the context to find the true interpretation. And really, that's a rule that we use even in everyday English. People look at the context to find the meaning of a word. You know, there's a lot of words in our language that have multiple meanings. And really, we determine which meaning is necessary by the context of where it is. And so we examine the context. So if the preacher gives you a quotation from a specific passage, go back three or four verses and read from there, and then pass that up with three or four more verses and make sure that the understanding is within the context as the preacher put forth. Some preachers, like I said, proof texting, they find the passage they want to say what they want to say, and then they just leave it there and don't go any further. Like John 3:16. I mean, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? People stop there. That's enough for them. They don't want to go any further. And so they ignore the rest of it. And we can go on to John 3:36. Yeah, if you believe in the Son, you have eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son does not see life. I mean, they ignore that passage of Scripture. So we got to find in the context of all these things that we're using to teach. Sometimes it's helpful to research the background of traditions and customs that may throw light on the meaning. I think we've seen this in our Wednesday night studies as we're going to the Old Testament. We're learning what these people were like, what they did, what their attitude was. And then, so when the prophets speak to them, we know exactly, we can understand exactly, I mean, what is being said there. Without that knowledge, it's just a bunch of words that really make no sense. But when you understand what's going on and why these words are necessary, the scriptures come to life on you. And so that's what I think is taking place Wednesday nights, is the scriptures are coming to life and we can understand it. I mean, whereas if we didn't understand the background, I mean, like I said, it makes no sense at all. And so these are only a few of the rules of interpretation. I mean, some different people have made lists of how to study the Bible. Some of them use 8 points, some of them use 16, some of them use 40 points. But any way you look at it, there's ways to study the Bible, and we're taught those ways. And that's what we need to do. So some general guidelines, we need to stop and think when what we believe, teach, or practice cannot be found in Scripture. You know, we make this plea with those in the denominational world. You're doing this, this, and this, and I can't find it in the Scripture. Where is it? Well, a lot of them will say, well, I don't know. I mean, it's just really not important, is it? I mean, that will be their idea. And so you need to stop and think when what you believe, teach, or practice makes void the Word of God. God said do it this way, but you're doing a different way. So who are you going to believe, and who is right? Only those who do what God commands. That's what Jesus said. But remember, Jesus didn't mean what he said, so what he said doesn't really matter anymore, does it? I mean, that's how many of them take it. That's how many of them treat the Bible. It's obsolete, and we don't need that anymore. As one person said, we've gone beyond the Bible. We don't need the Bible anymore. I mean, we have a deeper understanding. We have a deeper enlightenment. I mean, so that's what happens when people reject the Word of God. They have to delude themselves into thinking they have a much better enlightenment about life and what it's all about. We need to stop and think when what you believe or teach leads to immorality or any evils. And yeah, I mean, what immorality? I mean, that's just sinfulness. That's plain and simple, sinfulness. And if we're teaching that and leads people to that, you know, the once saved, always saved doctrine definitely leads people into immorality. Why? Because they're taught there's no consequence for getting involved in sin. So what do? Hey, let's live up. Live it up. Let's do what we want to do. And then we need to think when we believe, teach, and practice causes conflict and division. And that happens a lot. And I mean, that's why we have 100,000 different denominations out there. Because people couldn't agree, so they go off and start another group. Well, you don't want to stick with this way. I mean, in many of the denominations that are organized, I mean, they have had many splits. Why? Because some people want to add things that's not in the Bible, and others, oh no, this is in the Bible. We need to stick with the Bible. And so there's a division takes place. That happens in the church. I mean, there's many divisions in the Church of Christ because some people do not want to stick with the scriptures and they want to start adopting practices and beliefs that the denominations have. And so that causes conflict and division. And we know that's wrong. Paul warns us about being of the same mind, intent on one purpose, and then have all these different divisions. See, there's many possible ways of misusing the scripture, and in our last lesson, we have considered just three of the more common misuses. I mean, careless proof texting. We talked about proof texting, or applying a different meaning to a passage that the author never intended, and misquoting verses, and quoting things that's not in the Bible, and say, well, the Bible says he who helps himself, I mean, is going to be fine. Now, see, whether wittingly or unwittingly, we are deceiving and leading people astray. And so that's the danger of false teaching, is leading people away from God, not towards the truth. I mean, I don't think you can accuse any denominational preacher of misspeaking and leading someone to the truth. I don't think that's possible. I mean, so the misuse of scripture has serious consequences, and we've talked about that today. I mean, the needy are deprived of help, the faith of some is overthrown, and people are led into immorality. I mean, that's the way it is. Those who teach error undermine the authority and integrity of the scriptures in the minds of people by feeding their belief that you can make the Bible say anything you want, and it means you can be sure you are set aside for condemnation. Of course, they leave that part out. The Bible says they're set apart for condemnation, but they just leave out that part. You can make the Bible say anything you want. You can believe anything you want. Everybody has a mind. Everybody can decide for themselves what the Bible means for them, and we'll just be one happy family accepting a doctrine like that. Now, the Bible says condemnation is the result of believing that way. So each of us has a responsibility to ensure that what we believe, teach, and practice is scriptural. And that is a responsibility on each of us. That doesn't fall just on the preacher. If we had elders, it wouldn't fall upon just them. But every member of this congregation has a responsibility to ensure what we believe, teach, and practice is according to scripture. So this means that we need to search the scriptures, examine the context, and research the background. We need to know what the scripture says. How can you point out error if you don't know what the truth is? You cannot. And so we need to learn all the rules of interpretation. And there's a lot of them out there. And so our hope in this, that this lesson has rekindled a healthy fear and respect for God's Word, that we should study the Word of God a lot more than we probably have been, and make sure and verify what has been taught to us. That's what the Bereans did in Acts 17 and verse 11. Hopefully this stirred up a desire to study the Scriptures in accordance with the rules of interpretation, to understand it so we know what it's talking about. And hopefully it has caused us to consider our beliefs and practices in the light of the Scriptures. So that's what we need to do. We need to verify. We need to examine ourselves, right? 2 Corinthians 13:5. We need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. How do we know unless we do a little self-examination? And there's nothing wrong with that. We should examine ourselves often and verify that what we believe and teach is according to God's Word. So we need to know those things. I mean, it's very simple. People abuse the Scriptures, they misuse the Scriptures, and they lead people astray and souls into hell. That's what's happening there. And so we need to warn people about the consequences of this false teaching. And it's out there. So consider these thoughts. We're going to offer an invitation. If anyone does have a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.